Easy fight to score. 20th UFC fight for Aljamain Sterling. He is now a shiny 16-4, having won 10 of his last 11.
Aljamain Sterling!
Dariush bites off the challenge and excels as usual, looking like 8 in a row.
I don't care if I have to win another 10 fights before I get this belt. I'll do it.
Bundil Dariush!
Welcome to UFC Unfiltered. Please tell me that's on video. I've never been happier.
I'm made for a fucking podcast. That's dangerous. Listen to me, we're at it.
Welcome to UFC Unfiltered, a fine episode, hopefully in the making, with Matt and myself. Now, we have two guys coming on today who really do have been on the show a lot. Aljamain, who has been on, I think this is his 15th appearance, and Benil Dariush will be returning. I think this is Benil's 11th time on the show. They have to be two of our most frequent guests.
I like them both so much. You know, I miss Aljo because I don't see him so much anymore, so I want to catch up with him. You know what? People listening to this, they might not be seeing this, and they might be seeing this, but I feel like I look like a superhero a little bit. Look at my shirt a little bit like this. Look.
Superhero, yeah, it's an interesting take.
Put you in the same shirt.
I would choose not to wear that shirt.
No. I'm putting my sword back.
Yeah, I don't know why. I just came in there. I'm just having a little
bit. You're saying that's an interesting take, almost like it's not a real thing. Look at me for a second. You know how many escaped from cross-eyes into Kimuras I did this morning?
Three.
A bunch. Okay. No, you're wrong. A bunch. I mean, over a dozen, you know? Anyway, we did a lot of escaping.
Yes.
Positions today at Sarah BJJ. And, you know, it's nice. The kids are they're homeschooled anyway, but they're off of school this week, regular.
Right.
Kids. So my daughter, she went with me to the 7 a.m., hung out, did the noon class. Come on, man.
Yeah.
Daddy-daughter time. Anyway, how was your morning?
Uneventful. I just did radio. It was good. Went to the gym and came home. Sweaty and disgusting. Let's see.
Ooh, Aljamain in the waiting room.
Aljamain is
former
in
champion of the world.
The waiting room. Yes, let's bring Aljo in.
Yes! Jimmy, you got something in your teeth, my little buddy?
I do, yeah. I just ate lunch real quick. I forced it down quickly.
What'd you eat?
I have a burger. Hey, what's up, Aljamain?
Hey.
How you doing?
Aljo, what's happening, man? First of all, I miss you.
I miss you too.
Is it weird to start that off with Jimmy? Don't blush for me. I'm not ashamed to say it.
I don't mind it.
Agree with this guy. I seen him grow up. Well, pretty much. I don't know. You. How old are you now? I mean, shit.
34.
You were a young kid when I first met you. Now look
me?
At you. Look at you. Are you okay? Do you see me?
Yeah.
Okay.
I can see it.
You are winning. You've won, actually. You in life. Look at where you are now. Did you ever think when you were upstate and you messed around with your first taste of MMA? I know you had high hopes, but look at you now. Did you ever think it would? Did you exceed your dreams or what?
Definitely exceeding my expectations for sure. I mean, I always thought I could do well. I didn't know how well. You know, everyone kind of says I'm going to be a UFC champion, but I didn't know if I really believed it at the time because I've never won anything wrestling. I came up short in the counties, came up short in college, never got to the finals. So I was just like, well, this is my last shot at some type of athletic career. So let me just give it a shot and see what I could do. And man, I rolled the dice and it paid off. Crazy.
My guess is that you've like achieved what you wanted to, but you feel like you're not done yet.
Yeah, 100%. I feel like now that I'm in a new weight class, I almost feel like I'm starting from scratch. It's actually a very bizarre feeling. And I did say it before my podcast that if I had lost to Calvin Kattar and it was like dominantly, I probably would just retired and just been done. You know, because my goal is to become a champ again. It's not to just, hey, I'm just here to collect paychecks and get my ass kicked and become like highlight reels for everybody else. I have no desire to want to be that guy. So, yeah, I can make a pretty good paycheck doing that, but I got a little more pride for myself and everything I've accomplished. I just would hate to want to take my everything I've done towards the tail end of my career by just taking L's after L's. You know what I mean? So I think there's more in the tank, and we'll see what happens at 145.
Jimmy, let me just say something. I want to talk about his last fight with Calvin Kattar. Now, man, I get livid. I take it a little personal because I know you, but from an outside point of view, like, I understand people love knockouts. They love the finishes. I understand. But if you know the sport, if you appreciate art, you know what I mean? What you did in that last fight, if you did not know Calvin Kattar and you go, oh, this is a new guy going into UFC, let's see how he does, you'd say, all right, this guy's not ready yet. Now, listen, I'm saying that with all due respect because Jimmy, you know how much we respect Calvin Kattar.
Calvin Kattar, of course.
Look at a highlight of Calvin Kattar's finishes to who he did it with. He made guys look like they don't belong in there. He put guys' lights out. He split faces open. And Aljo, the fight was, God, it was damn near perfect. Why should you show your chin? Why should you have to take some punishment just for everybody to, look, he absorbed that. Now he's winning. Dude, you're not kidding. You're outstriking him. You're taking him down. So, I mean, where I'm just like Slim Shady with this fuck everybody. I texted you after and I said it on here before. I don't know what everybody's expecting and how could they not appreciate that?
Your job is to win fights.
Yeah. But it wasn't boring. I don't think it was fucking boring. Putting it together was beautiful. I don't know, Aljo. What's your thoughts on some of the criticism after that fucking dominant performance?
I think the criticism comes with the card and the event and the moment, and everyone was kind of looking at it like, oh, these fights are crazy. This fight should be crazy too. But then my opponent didn't do anything. So it's kind of like, well, it takes two to tango. We got to just see some really good scrambles with JSP versus Onama. And that was a really fun fight from a grappling standpoint, falling off the top. I mean, there was some sloppy exchanges with the grappling where just losing position. And but you got to see the fun when one guy's not just conceding defeat and just trying to get up, trying to escape. I think that's more so what it is for the fans. I think they were more upset with me for being so dominant. And I don't know. be more upset with the guy who didn't do anything.
Go ahead, Jimmy.
Oh, I was saying, how do you feel? Like, guys are affected by weight. A weight changes differently. Like, you know, cutting, not cutting. How did it affect you to not cut? Did you just feel more energy? Some guys feel heavier, like meaning more sluggish. How did it affect you?
I felt like I had more pop throughout the entire fight. Like, there was more. I felt like I had more power. I had more endurance. And then I also felt like my fast twitch muscles, it kind of reminded me of back when I first started, when I could just be more bouncy, elusive, and I could use my feints. And I was watching in the second and third round how I was still able to use my feints and my quick twitches to keep them off balance. And at 35, I felt like after one round of that, I was pretty drained and I couldn't do that very often. So I had to be very, very calculated on when I was doing it, because I felt like since like 2019 is when I started to get noticeably bigger after my weight cuts and starting to feel the fatigue later on in the fights, where I was like, man, I think the weight cut is starting to affect me. So I'm just glad I finally decided to commit to the move. And once I got to see the numbers on paper and compare it, I was like, man, I've been killing myself for way too long. And it's about time I trust in what these guys are telling me and see what I could do at this weight class. And if I'm good enough, I'll rise. And if not, then maybe I find a new job, you know?
Let me ask you, Aljo. DC does that a podcast with who's the football
guy? Ryan Clark.
Yeah.
Ryan Clark. Now, I don't watch football. I don't know about football, but I'll tell you right now. Is Ryan Clark educated in MMA at all or no?
I think very, very little. And we went back and forth a little bit on Instagram in the comment section.
Did you?
Yeah. And I was supposed to get on his podcast, and then he tried to do it like super last minute and it didn't work. I was like, bro, I got stuff to do. Like, I can't just drop everything to do a podcast because you're in town. But I said, let's schedule it and get this done. And then maybe I could show you some stuff. And I think, and he said it, he was like, from a dominant standpoint, it was dominant, but he said from an entertainment aspect for the fans, he's like, we don't want you to go out there and take damage, but if you're talking about what I would like to watch, I would rather watch a Gaethje versus Max Holloway ending sequence. And I'm like, I get that. I just,
sure.
That's just not me. I'm just not that guy. I'm just not going to be the guy to do that. There's plenty of other guys who are willing to do that and roll the dice. And even for Gaethje, unfortunately, ends up getting knocked out with 1 second left on the clock. And it wasn't just a knockout. It was a bad knockout.
Yeah.
So it's like, that's the game we play. People got to understand it's a game of inches. And this is not a knock on Gaethje. It's just, you got to, we take risks, but they got to be smart risks. And for me, in a fight like that, where Calvin's not offering much, I think I took all the risks where I'm entering where he's trying to throw a knee and I evade the knee. I take him down. It's like, well, at this point, it's on you to get up and try to do something to make it more entertaining. Otherwise, I'm just going to try to pass. But he kind of just neutralized me and held me in position.
And it's funny because, Jimmy, what we're referring to is on their podcast, DC, and I think DC did it a little tongue-in-cheek. I feel, yeah. Because DC is such a master wrestler, that he really appreciated what Aljo did. I swear, yeah. I think it was honesty with that. But I think because there's memes and is on a card, like you said, on that night, it was, you know, they're saying, you know, you got some criticism for it. He said that Aljo should be up for the next BMF belt. So then Ryan Clark goes, yeah, boring mother effer, you know? So it's like,
yeah.
It's like, dude, it's a little disrespectful because it's an uneducated DC's kind of, he kind of riled him up probably before he set him up, you know?
Yeah, he definitely.
Oh yeah. He reeled him right up. DC put up he threw up he gave him that and he set it up and he took the bait. But I believe he knows that he's almost just like a casual and that he doesn't understand. He can't appreciate what you did. He might not like, oh man, this isn't of course everybody, what Max Holloway did is, dude, that's out of a movie. And there's a lot of guys that fight like that. There's also a lot of guys with CTE eventually, but man, for me, that comment was a guy, okay, this is a guy that probably never took a jiu-jitsu class.
Well, and Ryan Clark's a football player too. And like, he should understand too, that like there's games that are more exciting than other games. Like everybody wants to see a 40-37, you know what I mean? A field goal with 10 seconds left and a shootout as far as offense is concerned. But sometimes you get a defensive game. And like, that's what fans will complain about when both defenses are so fucking good and you wind up with a score that's like 7-3, fans will complain. And he would probably say as a player, you have no idea how well we played against each other to shut down Tom Brady or whoever quarterback or Aaron Rodgers. You know what I mean? Like, as a football player, he would know the skill required, but the fans want to see the offensive shootout. That's just the way it is with any sport. Fans don't want to see a pitcher's duel. You know what I mean? They don't want to see a fucking two-hit shutout. They want to see a 10-9, 10th inning walk-off, extra inning home run. You know, that's just what fans want to see.
I get it. It's the entertainment aspect of it, right? So I get that. And even Matt and I, we talked after the fight, and immediately after the fight, I was disappointed because, you know, I'm chasing gold again. And I know if I want to beat a guy like Ilya Topuria, who's an animal, right?
Yeah.
I can't perform like that. I mean, it was dominant, but it wasn't like, in my head, I thought it was like not competitive. And it was, so I didn't know what it looked like. And when I went home and I watched it, man, my whole perspective changed. And I was like, yeah, that was as clean as dominant. Everything we did training, drilling wise, like preparing for Calvin, drilling like repetition after repetition, like, okay, throw the jab, look to slip, look for your entries, use the feint, off balance this way. We did everything that we wanted to do. So from that standpoint, I was extremely happy with it because I thought it was very dominant and I thought we did everything we wanted to do. And that's what you want. You want to fight as perfectly as you can. And a guy like Calvin Kattar, he sends a lot of guys to the hospital. So
it's Calvin Kattar, yes. Dude,
exactly. It's who you. It's not what you did, it's who you did it to. And the way you make it look is that impressive. Even Dana was saying good things, though. I think didn't Dana even say he appreciated what you did? I mean, like...
Yeah. I was shocked.
Because Dana knows MMA. Dana knows what you just did. I mean, Dana knows how tough Calvin Kattar is.
Yeah.
I was there with him front row many times with that guy fighting, and he's a dangerous guy. Everybody wanted to see how you went up a weight class, how you performed. It'd be just short of the submission, you couldn't have performed better. How that fight could have been more exciting if he got away and got back up, get back up. You can't let the guy up. You know what I mean? You did the hardest part. You closed the distance. You got him down.
Yeah.
Dude, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I enjoyed the hell out of it, you know? But I know what I'm watching.
Yeah, yeah. I appreciate it, too. I appreciate it. And I think a lot of the grappling community actually appreciated it, too. I know some people didn't really know anything, so they were just kind of like, why don't you try to pass? I'm like, well, I did pass. I did try to pass multiple times. But when he's like throwing up his leg and doing like this weird lock to neutral, I'm like, well, I'm not going to move here. If I move here, I lose the position.
Dude.
And it's on you to get up. You need to get up out of here. You're losing this fight right now.
100%. Yeah. Hey, man, listen, what's anybody on the radar? Any whispers going on? What do we got going on?
Like, I asked for Brian Ortega.
Oh, yes. Them, dude.
Yeah.
Now, listen, that is a grappler's delight. I mean, who knows? Or it could nullify and see what goes on the feet. That's an exciting fight.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's probably what will end up happening. We'll probably end up fighting on the feet. And if it does hit the ground, I got to be very careful because he's actually crafty with his submissions, the guillotines, the trapped arm stuff he does. He's slick, man.
What's a trapped arm? What does that mean, the trapped arm?
Like, he'll trap the arm into the guillotine like he did with Cub Swanson. Like, he'll jump on the guillotine. He's got good triangles off of his back. He's just very dangerous everywhere. So you can't just relax in some of those positions if you get a takedown. I think that's the most fun fight, and it's the highest ranked guy that I can fight right now. I don't think he has an opponent. I don't know. I know he was saying something about being more active, but I wouldn't be ready until like September, maybe August. I guess I got a little thing happening with my hand that I kind of banged up a little bit.
You know, the good thing, Aljo, too, about going in as a former champion, who and you beat everybody in the bantamweight division. I mean, it's amazing the fighters you beat, is you're going to have a pick that somebody who just went into the division wouldn't have because you're a name and guys want to fight. You know what I mean? As a former champion, you bring a lot to the table, and especially after winning the first fight, I guess a guy like Calvin Kattar, who has the respect of everybody in the division. So you and Ortega, what was the last fight that happened where it was two guys who everyone expected – it was going to be a ground war, and they wound up standing. I'm trying to, there's a fight in particular. I can't remember it.
Usman and Kobe Covington.
That's right. The whole thing. That's right. It was Usman and Covington. The first fight, right? Yeah, the first one.
Yeah. And even the second fight, they still kind of just decided to stand up. I can't think of anybody else like off the top of my head, but I know, maybe Gilbert Burns and Damian Maia ended up becoming Burns knocked him out. It was like one round, right? I think. So that was a quick one. But they had a couple of grappling exchanges.
I think Usman is the one I'm thinking of. Usman and Colby is the one I'm thinking of.
The Gilbert Burns and Damian Maia was a very nice fight because a lot of guys are just trying to fight to get to their feet. Gilbert, because he's a very, very good black belt, he would start playing jiu-jitsu with him. And then he would use that to get to his feet. So it was it was strategically, it was really... he was on point, you know. That was a great fight. And another one that comes to mind is Damian Maia versus Ben Askren. They had to do a little on the feet, but then you got to see the best of the takedowns from Askren, the Umaplata reversals to the Ashigaru reversals from Damian Maia. It was such a great fight, you know.
And you know what's crazy? You see that type of fight, you see what Ben Askren does to most of his opponents. He blankets them and they can't do anything. And then you get in there with a high-level black belt like Damian Maia, and then he makes it look like that. And that's the danger that I have with the fight with Brian Ortega. Like, I know where the risks are. I know my wrestling is definitely going to be better, but I know he's a bit of a bigger body than I am for the weight class. He cuts a little bit more than I do. And I've stood next to him. He's a bigger guy. But I think I'm just as strong. I think I'm probably faster. And I think my striking might be a little bit cleaner. And it's unorthodox, so it's a little bit different. He's more like fundamentally sound, I would say, but I think I'm faster. I think I'm cleaner, where it's like unorthodox clean, where I could throw stuff and get out of there. And I can also use my wrestling to mix things up. And I can grapple too, you know, so if he leaves the neck out, maybe I take his net. So we'll see.
Yeah, that would be has he indicated it all either way? Before that, had he indicated that he'd be willing to do that?
Well, we got the same manager right now, and I don't know what he wants to do. I try not to mix the relationships kind of a thing. You know, I try to be as respectful and professional as I can. But I let him know my desire. I think that's the highest ranked guy. I've trained with him one time before. Very cool dude I've looked up to, watched a lot of his fights, been on the same cards with him. We fought in Anaheim together too. When I fought and Henan Barao, he fought Renato Moicano, came back in that third round, got a guillotine finish after losing badly in the first and second rounds, comes out, has a come from behind victory. So it's like, we've got some history in a cool way where there's no malicious intent or anything like that. It's just, sure. You know, if there's any, Holloway's going to probably get the next crack, right? And then Volkanovski is still wrestling, healing up. So there's only one other guy for me, and he just beat Yair Rodriguez, who's I think is number four. So I think that's the next best thing if there's no other title challenges, and then we kind of figure out who's going to get the next crack at the title.
What do you think of Topuri? Who the hell is fighting next? Holloway. I think Holloway's going to get the shot, right?
He should. I mean, I don't know what the point was of him going up to 55 and then coming back down to 45. I was hoping that he would have stayed up there and said, you know what, I got next at 55. But he's coming back down. It's going to be exciting for the weight class, of course. That's a guy I would love to fight just because of his name. Like those type of fights scare me, man. But they get you excited. They get you motivated to go to the gym because you're just like, yeah, I'm not trying to become this man's highlight reel. I think he's definitely the next best guy, and rightfully so, everything he's done. And we'll see what happens. I know Volkanovski beat him three times, and then you got Ilya Topuria, who just knocked out Volk. But, you know, it's kind of weird because it was a very quick turnaround. In my personal opinion, I know people are going to say you shouldn't have signed the contract, but, you know, I know from experience, like, you can't just turn around like that after a clean knockout like that. And we'll see what happens. I know those are just the little intangible things that we can't really put how much it affected anything, but I definitely would imagine that it definitely played a little bit of a part in that knockout. So with that said, I think it's them, which leaves myself and Ortega, or maybe I fight Yair Rodriguez, depending on what Ortega wants to do. So I don't know. There's plenty of options.
That'd be wild, too.
He's a good kicker. He's a great kicker.
And he's not a big
guy. Yair, amazing.
He's wild. Talk about both of you unorthodox. That'll be some Matrix shit in there.
Yeah.
What'd you do? You just got back from vacation with the wifey? What'd you just do?
Yeah, we went to Turks and Caicos. We're here visiting some family in Texas right now.
Oh.
Dude, so.
I said it to before. Dude, living the dream, man.
Yeah. Try it. We don't got kids yet, so, you know. we take it full advantage.
How is that? Where'd you go? What'd you say?
The Turks and Caicos. That's the jet car right there.
Do you like Turks? How was Turks and Caicos?
Well, one is very expensive, but
yes.
Two, the water. There's like no other waters like it, man. At least I don't think so. Very nice place, friendly people. I got my air drain. I went and did some jujitsu. I had to get my air drained twice because it kept filling up with blood. Nice little cauliflower.
Oh, dude, we
got to go to some of the places that Drake goes down there, which is Noah's Ark, which is a very popular place on Sundays. The Conch. We went to a bunch of different spots. Got to watch like the parade show in there and things like that. So it was cool. Good vibe, good food, good people. And I bought a couple of Cubans. I don't just smoke cigars. I was just like, you know what? These are victory cigars. Let me just buy a couple and just kind of indulge a little bit. Right. So we had a great time. Definitely want to go back.
I'm afraid with the cigars that I'll just inhale. I'm not normal. I'll just I'll forget what I'm doing. I'm gonna be coughing. People make fun of me. It's not my thing.
Yeah, no, I feel you on that.
Cigar guy either, Jimmy. You're not a cigar guy.
Yeah, sorry about the background noise. They're doing construction in the building. If you hear it, no, man, I quit smoking over 20 years ago. I don't fuck with anything like that. I don't trust myself. I'm afraid of going back on cigarettes. So I haven't smoked a cigarette since 2001. So. I won't fuck with cigars. How is the hotel you were in? Sorry, man. How is the hotel? Because I want to go to Turks and Caicos, but I've heard it's really expensive.
It is. So there are smaller places, but the house, I mean, it's not going to look like a high-end modern place, you know, but you get what you pay for kind of a thing. So if you want something nice, like a good villa, if you're not going with the group, then you're going to pay a little pretty penny. We pay like $3,500 for the spot. We say that, but it was meant for like 6-8 people. So it was a nice spot, 3-bedroom. One of the rooms had bunk beds in it. Super clean, updated. Like, that was one of the things we were definitely really happy about. Like, the place was super comfortable. The bathrooms were really nice.
As a family,
and it was right on the beach.
Is it a family type place or no? Is it a family type place?
Like, Yeah. 100%. 100%.
Like, if I brought me and my fam down there, we got like a place like you just said, Yep. You could do that stuff with that Barbie thing in the thing. That looked like a Barbie car. Right?
Did yeah, yeah. You could do all of that.
Is there stuff for the kids to do in like the water? And like it's
they got like snorkeling, they got little excursions, they got water parks, they got a whole bunch of things. There's a ton of things you could actually do down there. And you got I think you guys would have a good time, and especially they were asking me about doing something like maybe like a seminar or something, or maybe trying to pay for accommodations or something like that. For
who's
like
that? Who's over there?
They have a BJJ school called TCI BJJ. It's a good little spot. You would think because it's on the island, it's not like it's going to be like the puzzle mats, but they actually have proper mats. It's not the biggest facility, but they have proper mats in there. And I think they would be very interested and love to have you down. I'm just putting it out there.
Oh, Sarah family vacation.
Right?
How many people go to, what is it called?
Turks and Caicos.
Turks and Caicos. Yeah. Okay, I got it. No,
so when you go there, what do you just want to just go down and work out and roll for an hour?
Nah, we just went to the beach. We hung out on the beach pretty much every day. Good food next door to right by the apartment, the condo that we stayed at. We partied a little bit, but not really. They have some party type of things, but it's more so like hookah, like a lounge. It's not like a nightclub where they're like doing like Molly. I mean, they could be. I have no idea what they're doing, but it was more of a loud environment, but it's not like, it wasn't like that. It was just like, yeah, it was cool. It was cool. It was a good vibe.
Hey, you're not breaking out the glow sticks.
Not breaking out the glow sticks. At least I wasn't.
Jimmy.
Can you hear this in the background?
What?
You hear that?
Yeah, but we can't hear nothing.
Okay, I feel bad. I don't want to wreck the show.
Me, you, and Aljo. Let's go to a rave. Yeah.
I don't want to go to a rave, Matt.
Nah, let's go to a rave. Film it.
I've never been to a rave.
No, me neither.
Yo, I know what I don't get when they have these new like clubs and stuff, and there's a one like DJ up, like just like a scrawny guy, and he's doing like weird shit, and he's playing weird videos, and then he's spraying the crowd, and everybody's just sitting there like zombies, like. Oh. What the fuck is that? What is that? I want to know what, unless everybody's high on shit, like, dude, they're all like, nobody's mingling. Yeah. Nobody's, not to be like dancing. I don't want to sound like an old man, but no,
nobody's
like,
mingling.
Jimmy, you're an ass. But what I'm trying to say is that Aljo, he's a fucking bully. He's been bullying me all the last week. You're not starting the week this week. Bullying me, Jimmy.
It was just a funny term. Nobody's mingling. They're all stoned. They're on fucking. They're in K holes.
My point is this: I'm a married man now, but back in the day, I used to go out. I'm a former coxman. No, I'm only kidding. But I used to go out. Look, you used to go out looking to meet people and this and that. So
yeah,
how do you? What are you doing? You're looking at this guy. Everybody's like a fucking zombie. You know what I'm talking about, Aljo?
Yeah, yeah.
I see that. Like the one DJ. Is he a DJ? I don't even know what the fuck the guy's doing. Once in a while, I'll go to a record, but then there's like weird videos behind them. I remember I went to one with Dana after looking for a fight, like not just like briefly. We were like behind the stage and looking, and he had to make an appearance for something. And I'm looking at it. I'm like, what the fuck is this? Once in a while, they'll shoot out t-shirts and shit. It is the lamest shit. I don't get it. It's fucking lame.
Yeah.
Where spot was that? Was that in Vegas?
I'm going to say... It was on a looking for a fight. Dean Thomas was with me. He remember more than me. Because I remember when I did the Joe Rogan show with Dean Thomas. I go, man, this is my first time in Austin. He goes, we did a looking for a fight in Austin. I go, So Aljo, you know what you're dealing with. I don't know where I was, to be honest. But I did. Where could it have been? But it was exactly what I'm explaining. And they told me that this guy is so popular, his Instagram. And, dude, the guy looked like a fucking... Just a scrawny, like dirtbag guy, and he's walking.
Was that Chainsmokers? I wonder if that was Chainsmokers.
I don't know who it was. I was there with Dana and Dean, and some of the staff from maybe Rory was there, if you ask him. But holy shit, man! I don't get it, Jimmy.
Did you get out there and boogie?
Imagine if I'm like, come on, everybody, who wants to dance? Get him off stage. I don't know. Jimmy, I just like to have a good time.
I know. I don't dance, Aljo, though. I probably would have been one of those guys.
That's a good time. Look at Aljo and those pitches. Look at that.
So that's my cousin, some of my best friends from home back in Unidale. And then they all came out for the fight. And then I got Jamal Hill, Bobby Green, Odie Osborne, a couple of Jamaicans in this photo.
How is it hanging out with those three right there? Not those three. No, I'm a was
that Jamal Hill? Jamal was with you in Turks and Caicos.
Bobby Green. How's it like hanging out over there with these guys? They look like cool. Fun.
Bobby was on another planet, though. He was definitely. Wow.
Look at his eyes. That's funny.
Yeah.
He had some of that Vegas good for sure.
Jamal Hill looks happy. Hey, look, that dude, come on, man. That's a little relaxation after battle. That's so much fun.
Yeah.
So when are you back in town? When are you back in New York?
We get back tomorrow morning for a couple of days, and then we come back again towards the end of the month. We got to celebrate Aljamain Sterling Day.
Yeah. Oh, that's nice. They're doing that.
100%. I have it on my calendar, but tell everybody what day that is in New York over here.
May 23rd.
Darn right.
Nassau County.
My wedding anniversary. As I belch. Aljo, man, I can't listen. How long are you in town for when you get back?
Well, the second time I come back, I'm going to be back for about 2 weeks. This time, we're only coming back for like 4 days. I got a poker tournament I want to play in. And I kind of got the bug, man. I won like $2,000. Yeah, I just learned. Well, I played a couple, but I wasn't very good. But now I'm kind of like starting to get into it a little bit. I'm like, all right, I think I could probably make something out of this.
Can I tell you? That's awesome that you like that. You know who's a master at that is
Kobe, what? No?
No. Who?
I know Kobe plays.
Kobe. Covington plays?
He can
Even. Covington.
I'm not talking about Kobe. I'm talking about I'm talking about Dana. Not Dana.
Oh, he plays poker. I thought he just played
blackjack. No. Not Dana. Ruth Buffer. That's who it is.
Ruth Buffer, okay.
I believe is very good. Hey, producer, look that up about Bruce Buffer really quick and make sure I'm not making that shit up.
It wouldn't surprise me if he was a good poker player.
I'm thinking he won major tournaments, but I believe I'm correct. Please look that up so I don't sound like a fool. Thank you. So yeah,
poker's too stressful. It's too stressful.
You know what's
it definitely stressful? Is.
You know what's
it
really
definitely
fun?
Is.
Hey, listen, Aljo, and I know you, now. You listen. I'm not saying you. I'm not talking about your finances, but you got the cash for this. Get the MetaQuest 3. Get Contractors Showdown. It is Jimmy. Don't get disgusted.
I'm not. I'm with you. Okay. I might get it.
Okay. Listen to me. You ever play Modern Warfare? Call of Duty Modern Warfare.
Yeah.
Imagine how they just signed out right now.
Yeah.
Listen, you ever play
Nobody Call would blame him.
Listen, I know you're busy. You ever play Call of Duty Modern Warfare? It's the one
I played a lot, but you know, I got like there's only so much time. I started playing chess, so it's like if I either play chess or get back into Call of Duty.
This is what I'm gonna say right now. I'm being a bad influence. I'm gonna read that in a second, producer. But right now, Jimmy.
Yes, sir.
I helped mentor this young man. What is the matter with me? He's doing chess. Chess is great for your mind. He's doing poker. That's an adult type of thing. I'm trying to.
Yeah.
What am I dragging him down? What am I bringing him down to my level, trying to make him be a kid again?
It's not really helpful what you're saying. Aljo, you know what you got to do? Heroin. Try heroin.
Jimmy, it's not helpful. Aljo, my man. Listen, take my advice on some Kimuras and stuff. I'm not that. You're doing great. You're doing great, kid. I don't want to forget the video games. Leave that to me.
we should also have the Funk Harbor Rum ready by the end of this month. We're going through a couple of things that we're taking care of. So another like side quest adventure that I'm doing GTA style. Almost done. We got to handle some paperwork and then we'll be ready to sell, start selling some product. But I'm super excited about that. I know it took some time. We had some fallbacks with some things and along the lays, but I see the finish line finally towards the end of the tunnel. We're almost there.
You make it, you're going to sell rum?
Funk Harbor rum. We're going to have three. We're going to have a high end. We're going to have like the regular Jamaican clear rum, kind of like Ray and Nephew, Rum Bar, some of those guys, the clear ones. And then we're going to have like a lightly aged one. But when people try this, it's not like Captain Morgan's. It's not like Bacardi. This is going to, I think this is going to knock the competition out. And I'm actually really excited about it. It's a good product. And it's got like the high end one's going to have like a hint of bourbon. So people who like whiskey or bourbon, I think they're going to really enjoy that one.
That's nice, man.
I thought you were going to say it's going to knock your dick off. I'm like, that's like Aljo, clean out an ad campaign up. Listen, I'm excited for Funk Harbor. Jimmy, I like to get funky.
I don't drink, but I mean, I think it's that's such a great business to get in because you can go to you can literally wind up 100 millionaire if people take to it and it does well. That is a smart, smart investment. So good for you, man.
Thank you, thank you.
Hey, man.
Hopefully it does well.
You want to plug anything else, Aljo? You want to plug anything?
Just the podcast, the weekly scraps. We're still scrapping.
That's it, man. And not only that, you're scrapping well. Congrats on that last fight. Anybody that's got something to say,
Yeah.
So listen, I'm so proud of you, dude. Just where you are in life. The last fight, too, everything. You're doing great, man. And when you're back in town, you're only 4 days. If I don't try to, guys love to see you.
I'm gonna try to swing by.
Let me know, brother. All right.
All right.
Aljo.
Thank you guys.
See you soon, Aljo. Take care, man.
Right. See ya.
I hope he gets that Ortega fight. That's a fight I would love to see.
Jimmy, this is our decision to live fast and die young. Sorry, that's a song. I love that song. It's called Time to Pretend.
I feel bad about the noise in the background. I'm trying to cover my mic.
Yeah, don't bring it up. Anyway, I don't hear it. Jimmy, I was right about Bruce Buffer. Let's read what our producer said to us.
Yes.
So sometimes you think I make up shit. I go, no, I don't. You don't say that.
No, I always think you're being truthful. I do think that you're fixing fights. I'm convinced that there's some dirty business going on and you're fixing fights.
I want to talk about our picks, but can I just say that?
I'd rather not discuss them.
No, we're talking about that. But back to earlier about DC with the podcast with Ryan Clark. He's not doing that anymore. Now he's doing the podcast with the great Chael Sonnen.
So he's not doing it with Ryan? They just stopped?
Jake, you sure they're not doing that anymore? Now he's doing the one with Chael.
I heard about the Chael one.
I don't know. Is he still doing the one with Ryan?
Maybe they're doing both.
He might be doing both. Don't be making up shit. Our producer will get back to us on that.
And then what happened? Did they not want to do it anymore? Or one of them did Ryan Clark get too busy?
I'm not sure, but I'm reading. Well, Brian Clark is probably going to try to educate himself in the martial arts. If you want action? Go see an action movie. I mean, listen, I want action too. But dude, if you can't appreciate that fight, I don't know what to say to you. Listen, by the way, Ryan Clark is doing a ton of podcast stuff right now. He was pretty spread thin. Okay. So he's busy. He's too busy to learn about the arts.
Sure.
Bruce plays a ton of poker, high stakes, cash games, and tournaments. I said that before. I'm just saying.
Not shocking. Not shocking.
Yeah, he's a interesting guy.
Yes, he is.
You know. Oh no, it was interesting. There's something was made history the other day in the last UFC over the weekend. Did you notice? And there was not Bruce Buffer. There was not who's the other gentleman that normally
it was not Joe Joe Martinez.
Something happened to Joe.
He got sick.
Who is the girl that had to step in on a moment's notice?
Charlie Arnault.
Well, congrats, Charlie. That was great. You did a great job. It must have been a pressure cooker right there. Like, oh my God, who's gonna jump in?
Well, he did the main. I think he came back. I think he missed the co-main in the fight before. My guess is that he was shitting his brains out. That's all I can guess because these guys, I mean, he probably ate something or whatever or something had been bothering him all night. But I'll bet he couldn't wait anymore and he was hearing the fights as he was shitting his brains. That's my guess. I don't even know, Joe.
I just hope that's what happened because it's funny.
He came back, though. He did. He's okay. He came back and did the main event. He's great. I love that he was shitting. That's the story I'm going to tell. Maybe Benil knows.
Let's catch up with him and let's congratulate him.
Benil's a very nice man. He really is. Always does a lot of charity work.
They don't hand out these awards, these Forrest Griffin awards. Well, I mean, they hand them out to the guys who deserve it.
Yeah, they don't. You say willy-nilly, they don't.
I don't say willy-nilly.
Yes, you do. There he is. Hey, Benil.
He looks great.
What's going on, gentlemen?
How are you, sir?
What's up, Benil?
Good. How are you?
Good, buddy.
Hey, good, man. Congrats on this award you're getting, dude. That's just such an honorable thing.
Yeah, it's pretty dope. you know, they didn't tell me about it. They didn't tell me I was going to get it. So I was pretty surprised. Everybody's like, just watch the TV. Giga's calling me. Giga knew somehow. I don't know how Giga knows, but Giga knows. He's like, make sure you're looking at the TV from, what was it, 520 to 540. I was like, okay, I got it. And then Gavin from the UFC, everybody's like reaching out to me. And then as soon as I see it on the TV, obviously I'm a little bit emotional. And then everybody starts messaging me and it's like I'm getting a flood of messages. It was a cool experience.
Yeah, you really do a lot of nice things for other people. Where does that come from? Like, you know, charity work, is it like one of those things you were raised, your family was charitable, or did you just decide you wanted to give back? What got you doing that?
Yeah, I would say my family was, my mom was very kind. My grandma too. They're just kind people. Right. I think they did a lot of kind things for a lot of people. That being said, when I traveled to Haiti, we were on a mission trip and I just saw it and I knew I could help. So I figured if I can, why not do it? So I kind of stuck around. This was 2014. I kept going back and also like doing some aid and things like that. And it just grew. It grew from like a feeding project into a school, into a children's home, and like, you know, having those three things. And now we're here, you know. Now I go to other places too, like Vietnam and things like that. And just different plans for different places. The more you do it, the more your eyes open to do it. Like you're able to do more, you know, because you're kind of familiar with it.
Would you go back to Haiti now? It's gotten a little scary with that guy, Barbecue, the gang leader running things. It seems like it's gotten kind of lawless. Would you still go?
So I haven't gone in 3 years because of that. Before Barbecue, it was pretty bad too. You know, for example, kidnappings, especially if you're not black. You know, if I go there with my skin color, I'm going to get kidnapped, most likely. I'm an easier target. Let's just put it that way.
You know? Stand out. They'll see you and they know you're not from Haiti.
Exactly. So that's one of the reasons why I haven't been able to go there. You know, they did kidnap actually a bunch of missionaries out there previously. Fortunately, they were able to escape. But I was getting reports of kidnappings all the time. So it made things a little bit tricky. That being said, it's actually been really difficult since Barbecue's taken over the country. So we've had to change our approach on how we work with the kids, how we help people there. But, you know, God always provides a way. So we're still there.
The guy's this warlord's name is Barbecue?
Yeah,
that's his nickname.
I don't want to know. I'm sure he doesn't just have a nice cookout. That's
no,
scary.
It's not for you. Yeah,
So he was a former cop or like a military guy there. And there's folklore about his name. Like he eats people or something. I'm not sure, but I just know that he's pretty good at what he does in terms of tactics. Like obviously the country's not that organized, but he was able to go after him pretty good. And then to create more chaos, he released 4,000 prisoners. And it just created more chaos and the government couldn't really keep up with it.
Yeah, it's kind of a scary thing. And there's other charities you've been involved with too. Like what is that feeling like? You go someplace and you actually know that you're not just sending money in, but you're there and you know that you can see the people that you're actually helping. It's gotta be a huge difference than just mailing in a check.
Yeah, so that's kind of the thing. I want to make sure whatever I'm part of, I know the money's going exactly where it needs to. Like you said, that's because obviously there's people I trust. And if those people tell me, hey, this is legit, okay, no problem, then I can do it. But a lot of times, a lot of people reach out to me and I don't know who I can trust and who I can't. So
right.
That being said, I got to get, you know, I got to go out there, see what's going on. And then once I'm out there, I can establish a process. That process needs to have great accountability. And if I have all those things, then we can move forward. But it's not something we could just, you know, send you money. I'm not going to, like, you're not going to get money from me just because, you know, I'm in need. You send me a text or something. Accountability is really important for us.
Yeah, that's very smart too. Because like when I get offered, like, do you want to donate a dollar to? I always go, no. only because I know that only a minuscule percentage goes to these sometimes. Like, it's in the fine print. Like, you try to donate something and you realize, wait, oh, 70% is going to staffing? And, like, none of it's going to the actual people who need the help?
Right. That's a legit thing. And then on top of that, like, sometimes the thing you think you're promoting isn't even that good. Like, you know what I mean? They'll be like children's education. And then, okay, what are they teaching these kids? 20,000 genders. Like, what? You know what I mean?
Right.
I can get pretty riled up about this kind of stuff. So they can just go F themselves.
Well, yeah. And also, you know, college students want us to pay for their student loans. And then you see, like, they may be behaving in a way that, like, I don't agree with, or someone else doesn't agree with it. It's like, why would I pay for someone to, I, you know what I mean? It's weird when it's your money and it's going somewhere, you'd like to at least have a say into what it's going into.
Oh yeah. 100%. And student loans are so weird. You know, student loans, you can never if you go bankrupt, they last forever.
Of course.
And,
yeah.
And the reason why that is because it's government loans. Majority of student loans are government loans. So I want to say nearly 2 trillion of it is government loans. So if the government would actually pull out of student loans, we would have a much better system. We kind of have like a socialist system in a lot of ways. The government will give whatever loan you want. So because the schools know that, they charge more. So a university will be like, oh, 2 semesters here cost 100K. So the government will give that money. But now if you did it with a private bank, here's what a private bank's going to do. It's going to say, what major are you picking? Gender studies? Sorry, we don't give loans out for that. So like, there goes a bunch of your problems. Another thing will be like, oh, you want how much for how many years? They're going to be like, no, we can give you only this much. And so when that happens, all of a sudden the prices of schools will go down. This is basic capitalism. It's weird how no one actually talks about it, how like government loans to students is actually the biggest problem we have. But I never hear anyone talk about it.
Yeah, I wonder, are they doing that because, and I went to one semester, I'm a high school dropout, but do they do that because the banks wouldn't give loans? Like, a lot of people who want to go to college wouldn't get the loan if they had to rely on a bank?
Well, I think the reason why they do that is, well, the people who are currently in charge of everything, they went to these universities. So they think the world of these universities, you know, like, they're like, the reason why I'm here is because of this university.
Right.
So I want to make sure these universities keep getting support. I think that has a lot to do with it. And it's just a system, you know?
Yeah.
Hey, Benito, so what's going on otherwise now? Are we looking at, how are we doing health-wise? Are we feeling good? Are we training? I mean, what's going on?
Yeah, I'm definitely training a lot. I've been doing a ton of grappling, which is fun, but I miss punching people. So, and I haven't actually done any sparring since my fight. So it's been nearly 6 months. I'll start basically this month in May. I get to start doing a small glove sparring, and then from small glove sparring, I'll move into like big glove sparring, where it's a little bit. It's hard sparring, you know, with big gloves, we like to go hard. So I'll try that. And then once I'm ready to go, I'll call the UFC and let them know, hey, everything's good. I'd like to get a fight.
It's funny you said that, Benil. I was just talking about what you just said with the big gloves and the small gloves. Because I go back, we didn't have any small gloves. And I'm happy we didn't. Some of these guys are like, oh, we're sparring. And then they got the little gloves. You really can't commit. I mean, you could play, but you're playing. So with the big gloves, you're getting ready for combat. Because you know what? And even when I get underneath the butt, we're looking for a takedown, they can't get it. Well, it's that much easier when you can get it. So when you time it, when you get the takedowns, I really prefer the big gloves, 16 ounces, when you're getting ready.
Yeah, so the way we do it in my gym or our gyms is this. We have one day of small gloves sparring where it's a lot of timing, a lot of grappling. Like, yes. If you're not trying to take your partner down, and if you guys are just, you're just wasting time, basically, you know, don't do that. Small glove sparring, everything's fast. Everything's good touches. Don't get out of position. Get your takedowns or defend the takedowns. Great. But when we put on the big gloves, it's the same thing. But now you can put some pep on your punches.
That's exact. Perfect. That's exactly what I'm talking about. I love that. That's a great mentality. You know?
And how is your how are you feeling mentally I mean, look, you know, it happens. People have a couple of setbacks. It happens to a lot of guys. You look at what Max Holloway is doing now. Like, it's crazy, right? He had the two losses in a row, and then all of a sudden he's fucking 6 out of 7, and he's ready for another title shot. So, you know, that stuff doesn't end anything. But how is your mindset?
Yeah, I mean, obviously it's easy to this game. It's like the lows of the lows and the highs of the highs. So, you know, I was riding high for a while, and it's been low. But fortunately for me, one thing I will say is I've been here before. You know, I had a year where, over a year actually, I had two losses, and very similar to this situation. I was able to come back from that. Now, I know a lot of people will say I was younger back then, so it was doable. But and now I'm a little bit older, so it's a bigger hill. But I've climbed a similar hill before, and I think I could do it. So I'm pretty excited to just get back into that octagon, to be honest with you. Competition is something I really love, and I would love to just compete forever, but it's not how it works.
You were younger then, but you're also a better fighter now. Like, you know what I mean? You're X amount of years better than you were before. You know a lot more than you did back then. So, you know, that kind of weighs on the other side.
Yeah, I definitely think I'm a better fighter. I think I have better training methods. I have better ideas of how to train. I can better study, you know, everything's gotten better. The only thing is age going to be a determining factor.
Now, one thing, this is more like personally what I would love to see when you are done, not when, whenever that is, how many years, months, years, many years, whatever. I would love to see if you want to, you still got that competitive spirit for you to do some grappling matches, man. Cause I really enjoy your jiu-jitsu. And would that be anything you're interested in to do after you're done?
Yeah, I would love to grapple. I do like grappling a lot too. We'll see, man. Because if I end up being a traveling missionary, it's hard because you know if you're traveling so much, you're not training as much. But grappling, I would love to do that. You know, I know the UFC puts on a lot of grappling events. I would love to be part of those. I think they're really fun. You know, awesome. And there's a lot of people I would love to compete against. You know what I mean? Especially like we get older, we're all retired. Be like, oh, you want to compete?
Yeah,
it'd be dope. Like the idea of it'd be cool. Like I'd be like, hey, Max Holloway wants to, you know, grapple. Okay, cool. I get to grapple with Max Holloway. You know, that'd be something like I could look forward to that.
Very cool.
Yeah.
All right, man, shoot. All right, Bernil, is there anything you want to promote?
Promote? Not particularly. You know how much I love you guys. You guys are awesome. You guys always have me on, and I got to just speak to you guys, and I really appreciate you. So thanks for having me on, and you know, you guys
anytime.
Have a great one.
And congratulations again. UFC 2024 Forrest Griffin Community Award. You know, you're exceptional volunteer work. You really are a good person, and they're going to give a $25,000 donation courtesy of the UFC Foundation to whatever charity you choose. So congrats, man. It's really it's nice. You're a really nice guy.
Appreciate that. Praise the Lord.
You guys take care. We'll see you again. Take care, Benil.
Take care, brother. It's always good catching up with
Benil. I need to do charity. My charitable work is a lot of times I just show up and I'm just me.
Jimmy, we do the same charity work.
I admire people that do it.
I made a lot of people happy today. You know, I know why. You know why? Because they were sweating after. They were smiling. I saw them smiling. Okay.
Yeah, no. I saw your friend Andrew today.
He sent me a bunch of videos I didn't look at yet, so you're probably in some. I don't know. Are you in those videos?
Possibly, yeah.
All right. Andrew Owens is a good man.
Very nice guy.
But you know what, Jimmy? Now, we have the – I know it's so odd. We have the exact same number of picks and wait a minute. Wait 1 second. It's actually, I have 24. I looked at it wrong. I have 24 wins and 12 losses as far as picks.
Yeah.
You have the same thing, but again, the exact opposite. Let's look at this. 12 wins.
That's right.
And 24 losses. It's very odd that it's the same numbers, just opposite.
Yeah, it is. And I'm glad that you find it as strange as I do. Now, you have 111.5 points. I have 64 points, which means that I have picked a few fights accurately. But this whole thing is on purpose. I like to dig into a hole and then miraculously come out of it. I firmly believe you're fixing fights. in order just to get your stats here up, even though we don't play for money. We're just doing this for fun. Do you know how broke I'd be if we were doing this for money?
Listen.
Yes, sir.
I don't need any street cred. You understand?
Yep.
This is just extra. Anyway. Jimmy.
Yes.
Over the weekend, let's talk about how Alex Perez did.
Yeah, that was a great. Was that second round? Let me see here. Let me go back to where we were.
Tell me.
Memory is no good, buddy. I just watched it too. I watched all the fights yesterday. Second round, yes, sir.
Man, and that Nicolau is no joke.
Mateusz Nicolau, no, he's not. He's great. No,
Ryan Spann, man, was doing well, man.
He was landing. He was going for takedowns. Yeah, he was really looking good.
Got to be frustrating to lose. To get caught, like, you know, in the second round, it went a little downhill. But hey, man, Guskov, he means business.
Yes,
I mean that was impressive. His striking was on point.
And another great fight too, Denise over Austin Lane. Lane did not look bad in that fight at all. But Junaid Deniz, I think it was a left hook that he landed, and he just collapsed Lane. Well, I think Lane was getting a little bit tired. He does like these football tackles, kind of, you know, and really looked good in the first round. But congratulations to Deniz. And Jonathan Pierce, David Onama was a great fight. That was a really, really exciting fight. I love a guy like Jonathan Pierce. I thought Onata deserved it in the third round. I mean, Pierce was so dominant in the second round. Third round, Onama looked great. Really close fight, and I thought it was the right decision. And then Uros Medic.
You know, we had Austin Hubbard on last week, and, you know, he had a close fight, man, because they were it was almost like they were fighting mirror images of themselves, you know what I mean? Because they both going for very similar stuff and setups, and they were so evenly matched. So you know, he took out Figlock, and it was a good fight. It was a good close fight.
I pulled a muscle in my leg, and I have to, if I sit regular, the muscle's gonna fucking stretch. Like, you know how you do something and you're like, I have to stay like this, or I'm gonna pull the muscle, and then 100%. When it settles.
It looks like there's a thumb straight up your ass.
Oh, I would prefer that. I'd prefer fucking two thumbs. Woof.
Jimmy, I had a great time today.
Me too. Thank you to Benil and to Aljamain. And we will chit-chat again on Wednesday, sir.
Jimmy, only 2 short days away. A day away, actually.
Yep. I've been doing that in class a lot.
Who do we have on the next one?
Ursaeg and Caio Abreu. Great.
I can't wait. Jimmy, I'll talk to you then.
Yes, sir. No, I got the podcast with my wife is up now. I'm very happy with it. I was a bit shitty and cranky during this podcast, but I'm happy. We're doing it and it's very fun.
All right. So you were just being you. You know,
but I was not.
You're not like that. You're giddy sometimes.
Thank you, Matt.
I'm pretty much. I get giddy a lot of times.
Yes, you do.
Jimmy, that's it, Jimmy. I'll talk to you in a couple of days. I had fun.
Me too. Goodbye.
The last thing you're going to see is this.
And the last thing you're going to see is this.